Together, it's located inside your program. All together now, there's only one presence
and one power active as the universe and as my life
of the good. Thank you, Joanne. And now it's time for our welcoming song on page 356. So if you'd all please stand. And don't forget to run around and say hello to everyone when we're finished.
Sundry items.
Okay.
That's right. Did I? No, I didn't.
Okay, I did it twice.
Oh, yeah.
She was just like, you know, Island Town.
We did? Well, my main thing is I have a lot of money on the whole thing.
Thanksgiving dinner next Sunday after church.
Still need people to sign up down there?
How's that list look? We need some vegetables.
We need some vegetables.
And mashed potatoes.
Are you volunteered for vegetables? Do you have an announcement? Oh, Bobby says you're bringing vegetables,
Joanne.
No broccoli.
I always have broccoli for Thanksgiving. I love broccoli.
Green bean casserole is the standard.
My husband loves
it. You have an announcement also, Jerry?
Yes, I do. Well, there's going to be a Abraham meeting at Rosemary's this Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
And as an incentive, she did promise she was going to do the turkey.
Are you sure she didn't? Are you sure you didn't change it to Tuesday because of Thanksgiving?
The Wednesday this
Wednesday.
Week?
I thought we changed it to Tuesday.
Thanksgiving's the following
week. It's the following week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that's great. We're doing
Abraham's week early this month.
Okay. Cool.
This
Johnny, can you talk about Penny's thing this Friday?
Sure you can.
No, I don't know too much about it. I know it's this Friday at Newaukum Golf Course.
Everybody, come and play bingo. Patsy, yeah. Penny's sister, is holding a fundraiser for her to raise money for all of the things she needs post-surgery, and they're doing bingo down at the Newaukum Golf Course.
What time?
Okay. Dinner's at 6. There's going to be a free taco bar at 6. So you can come for a free taco bar dinner. And then at 6:30, bingo's going to start. And bingo cards are $2 a piece or 3 for $5. And so they're going to play about 5 games of bingo or so, see how things go, and raise a little money for Penny. So please come on Friday night. I've never been to the golf club down there. It's down south of Shaheen.
Johnny, I have a
question.
I brought with me today clipboard for y'all to sign up for either a candle lighting reading for Advent on all of the Sundays of December, and on the 22nd, our candle lighting ceremony and the 12 powers, so you can sign up here.
And that list will be downstairs on the buffet table. Okay.
Or I'll carry it around and stalk you.
All right.
One way or another, you'll find it.
Okay. And now it's time for our unity statement. Please join me in the unity statement in the program. We will say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love.
We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing them with one another at presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God.
Now, if you'd all please stand for a song of joy, it's on page 345.
Yes, I am so happy and free. I am so happy, perpetually happy. Yes, I am so happy and free. Summertime, wintertime, springtime, and autumn. Yes, I am so happy and free.
Good morning.
I picked up
this book downstairs. It's called Inspirations from Ancient Wisdom. And I opened it up and found this passage, and I said, I just got to read this morning. Starts out, the astral body has its desires, dozens of them. It wants you to be angry, to say in sharp words, to feel jealous, to be greedy for money, to envy other people their possessions, to yield yourself to depression, all these things it wants, and many more. Not because it wishes to harm you, but because it likes violent vibrations and likes to change them constantly. But you want none of these things, and therefore you must discriminate between your wants and your bodies. Your mental body wishes to think itself proudly separate, to think much of itself and little of others. Even when you have turned it away from worldly things, it still tries to calculate for self, to make you think of your own progress instead of thinking of the master's work and of helping others. When you meditate, it will try to make you think of many different things which it wants instead of the one thing which you want. You are not this mind, but it is yours to use. So here again, discrimination is necessary. You must watch unceasingly, or you will fail. Between right and wrong, the wisdom's teaching show no compromise. At whatever apparent cost, that which is right, you must do. That which is wrong, you must not do. No matter what the ignorant may think or say, you must study deeply the hidden laws of nature, and when you know them, arrange your life according to them, always using reason and common sense. You must discriminate between the important and the unimportant, firm as a rock where right and wrong are concerned. You'll always do others in strange things that do not matter, for you must always be gentle and kindly, reasonable and accommodating, leaving to others the same full liberty that you need for yourself.
Thank you, Phil. And now it's time for our meditation song. Please remain seated for the meditation song on page 89.
He tells me I am.
Music. music can be the life of a church. Music can do more to minister to people's hearts and lives than any sermon that ever be preached. One of the things that I always had in those 47 years when I was pastoring, I always, always had a church choir. And you say, but we don't have enough members for a church choir. Well, I remember when I started that church in Spokane Valley with one family, built that church, we were running a neighborhood of 250 in attendance. As soon as I had enough people to have four voices in a choir, that was my choir. But it wasn't long, instead of a quartet, it was a quintet, then a sextet. It ended up growing that by the time I left that church, we had two choirs. The adult choir was running about 30 people in attendance, and I had a youth choir, teenagers, with about 20 voices in the youth choir. I remember one week I took the youth choir for a trip, 1 week trip, every night in a different church in the state of Washington, putting on a musical concert for that church. People will be here if they have a place of responsibility that they enjoy. Even if you only start with a few, you say, but Pastor, but Grandfather Roy, we don't have enough room for a choir on the platform. Well, that's no problem at all. I think of a church in Oakville that I have been a guest speaker in a number of times. They don't have enough room on the platform for a choir, but they got about a 20-voice choir, and they're all sitting in their robes down on the front row. And when it comes time for their song every Sunday, they're there with a choir number. They come up and they line up on the platform and they stand and sing their song, go back and say it. There are all ways of resolving your problems. But I guarantee you, go to work on your musical program and your church will grow. You will minister the hearts of people. There are people who go to church for the music and not for the sermon. So I wanted to share that with you. So the end of my two things I want to share. Now today's regular talk to you. How many of you have ever visited Multnomah Falls? Almost all of you. Almost all of you. Yes. Multnomah Falls on the Columbia River. The first fall falls 541 feet and the second fall 79 feet. Well, my story to today is an old ancient Indian legend from the Multnomah Indian people. And it goes like this. In a long, long, long ago time, there was a Multnomah chief. He was a powerful chief. He had one daughter, and he loved his daughter so dearly. She was the most precious thing he had left in his getting older years of life. For he had lost all five of his sons as chief warriors in battles, and all he had left was his daughter. So he was very, very, very careful in making sure that he found the best man for her as a husband. He chose a young Indian chief, Clatsop Indian chief. He was a very well-known and well-liked man throughout all of the Columbia River Indian country. So it came time for the big wedding and the wedding feast. Now, one of the things that's different about an ancient Aboriginal Indian feast here from the white man's ceremonies, you go to a white man's Indian ceremony, the service may last maybe an hour or less, and then the reception may last 2 or 3 hours or so, and it's all over with. An Indian wedding in those days, even when I was young, would last maybe 3, 4, or 5 days. There would be all kinds of things happening. There would be not only feasting and dancing, but there would be Indian contests. There would be horse racing. There would be canoe racing, swimming racing, bow and arrow contests, all kinds of things going on. So there were people that had gathered from all up and down the Columbia River, a great large crowd. They were having a wonderful time. Everybody was merry and happy, really enjoying it. And then something terrible happened. A plague hit them. But people all over the group were getting sick. And some of them died in just one day's time. Many of them died. And the people said, "Oh, the Great Spirit, he must be angry with us." The chief, the Multnomah chief, he was concerned. And he called all the medicine men of the different tribes that were present, along with from his own tribe, the elders, the old wise men, for a council. And they said, "The Great Spirit must be angry with us. What can we do?" Silence. A long period of silence. Nobody responded. Finally, one of the men, one of the elders in his tribe, stood and said, "Well, we Multnomah people have always been very brave and courageous, and we were able to face death courageously. So maybe we just need to face death courageously and let it take us and wipe us all out." There was total silence. Finally, an old man, very old, very weak and very feeble. He hadn't been there for any of the wedding, but when he got the call that the chief was calling all the wise men, the old elders and medicine men, that he came down out of the mountain for the council. He stood and he said, "I will share with you a story. When I was very, very young, my great-grandfather was a powerful medicine man of this tribe, and he shared a story with me. And he told me that when I got old, there would be a day when a great plague would hit the people. And many of the people would die." And he said, "My grandfather told me that the only thing that would save them is that one of the young maidens, a virgin, young maiden, must sacrifice her life for the people. Now I am finished." And he sat down. Well, the chief then, Multnomah chief, he called for all the young maidens, the virgin maidens, to come and stand before him. And they all came and lined up in a big line. In the line was his daughter. And he said to them what the old man had said, and he said, "Is there one of you who will offer your life as a sacrifice to the Great Spirit to avenge us of this plague and all, or whatever we have done to cause it?" No one stepped forward. They all, one by one, they left. Well, the young man that she was about to be married to during that great wedding feast, he became sick. She loved him dearly, and she knew then what she must do. She quietly slipped out of the village camp, climbed the trail. Oh, one of the things that the old man had said when he said there may be a sacrifice, that this woman, this young maiden, must go to a high cliff and leap out of the cliff into the rocks far below. So she went to the trail, winding back and forth. How many have ever climbed the trail to the top of Multnomah Falls? Oh, some of you know how that trail winds and winds and winds. I remember the day I walked that trail. There was no water flowing over that at that time. It was just a high cliff. She stood there at the top of the cliff, and she looked down at the rocks far below. And she hesitated. And then she said to the Great Spirit, "Great Spirit, I need confirmation. I need you to give me a sign in the sky that will let me know that my giving my life will be honored with the healing of all of our people and the plague being gone." And immediately, a bright moon shone in the sky over the Columbia River. She knew that she was going to be honored. She lifted her hands, arms high in the sky, took a deep, slow breath, and then leapt out of the air to the rocks far below. The legend says that immediately the plague left. All the people who were very sick and about to die were just like they'd never been sick. They were full of energy and life and strength and all. The chief, he wondered, who did this? He didn't know it was his own daughter. He called for all the maidens to come back and to stand before him. They all came. There was one missing. It was his daughter. The young Clatsop chief who was to be married to her, he immediately left and he climbed the trails up to the high cliff. Looked down below. Well, first, no, he didn't go to the cliff. He went to the base of the rocks down below the cliff and then he saw her body. And all the people there, they realized that she had given her life for their salvation, their lives. Then they heard a rumbling of water coming. The water began to spill over the cliff until it became a great waterfall that it is today, and there to honor and to bless the giving of her life for her people. End of story. Now, Grandfather, can you tell me, can you find that story in the Bible? Yes. Only this one. The great chief, Hayasokoli Tai, the great chief of the above, gone. Instead of having a daughter, had a son. His only begotten son. Oh, you ever heard that terminology in the Bible? Who gave his life at Calvary to save the people. The reason we're in a church today, the reason there is such a thing as church, is because he gave his life for us. And so, in conclusion, I would say, as he gave his life for us, so let us honor him by remembering what the scripture says. Jesus left us an example that we should walk in his steps. Now, I'm not saying you give your life physically in the way of death, but what happens if we give our lives in service? The choir, all the other ways you can go, you bring in your friends, honor them by introducing them to the person that you are honoring by being here and worshiping God today, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now you will join with him in that action, in those actions, by saving your own community. Your community is different from your community and your community here. We all have, we're a part of each other's community here. There's a whole lot of people in your community I've never met. A lot of people in your community I've never met. You have your own community. You are the Jesus representative. Leap off the cliff. That is, give yourself to them in a way that they realize they see the Jesus in you. The Jesus in you will redeem your world. Close cockwall. Let us go into our silence. Breathe deep and breathe slowly. Dismiss all the other thoughts of this world. Go into the quietness of the zero, the nothing. The circle is the zero, the nothing. For you and I, we are the nothing, but we are the everything. The nothing and the everything. For the circle of the circle speaks of our being nothing, for all, God is everything. But the circle, then, you can have the point of beginning or point of ending to the circle. Is the emblem of eternity, or the eternal one, God. And the God who lives within every one of you in this sanctuary this morning allows you to be the everything. Relax in the joy of the fullness of God within you. Feel the warmth of that joy wrapping around you like a warm spiritual blanket. Lift your heart in worship and praise to our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Lord. And determine that you're ready to walk in His steps. And He took one by one and called and His 12 to follow Him. He said, follow Me. And they followed Him. Following Him was the learning to be the person He was. Determine that is your life.
Okay, is this thing on?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Grandfather. And now it's time for our offering. There are two containers in our offering basket. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach program. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine God, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Quietly in your hearts.
Don.
Mike Ford.
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Now it's time for a prayer of protection. Let's all say the prayer of protection together in the back of your program, and also in the morning. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Now, thank you to everybody who made our Sunday service possible. Don't forget to coffee, refreshments, fellowship downstairs. And that's all for the sermon. Let's hear our peace song.
I know, your witness protection program.
Come on now. Here, she's a hand.
Put your hands back.